Okay, I know it's been a while, but we're back. Today, I've managed to steal away Matthias, our lead game designer, and Andrada, our lead economic designer, to go through how the game is moving forward after the launch. You know, balancing, upcoming content, all that good stuff. So welcome back, everybody. My name is Hamish Bode, and you're listening to the official The Division podcast. Welcome, Andrada, Matthias. How are things going?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. I sense some tiredness in your voice, Matthias.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Well, it's not over when it ships, right? It's,
No. Well, that's the thing I've been saying to people, that that's when our job starts.
Exactly.
Well, mine especially. Okay.
A new era.
Yes, it is a new era. I mean, you guys have been working on the game for a long time. But Matthias, you've been at Massive for a while, right?
Yeah, it's 10 years now.
10 years?
10 years, yeah.
Wow. So... before that, what was before Massive?
Before Massive was school, it was university. So this was my first job.
This is your first job?
In the industry, yeah. Yeah, getting paid.
Getting paid, all right, yeah.
to do games, yeah.
That's when it's kind of official.
You just really liked it here, so.
Yeah?
So I got stuck.
You decided to stay? All right, and what were you doing before this, Andrada?
I was doing games in Bucharest and Ubisoft studio there. Cool. I worked with mobile games as well before that. So, yeah.
Okay. So for the people at home, or they're probably not at home, they're probably like sitting on a bus or a train or something somewhere. Andrada, what is your technical title on The Division?
My title is lead economic designer.
Okay.
We're actually three designers working with economy and progression systems. So not everything progression, but for example, the level system, the level up system, all the economy of the game, and also the rewards for the activities that you do, all the missions. And I think that's it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Right, who are the other two people working on?
It's Nikki Kupens. He's been with us for a couple of years. And Rasmus, who just recently joined.
Cool. Yeah. All right. So have you guys managed to have like any downtime since the game came out?
It's been crazy. We've been very hard at it. We've been getting so much feedback, so it's been really good.
Yeah, because you must have a lot of data to get through. Like, I mean, we've done a lot of large scale tests, so you could call them, like we did the alpha and closed and open beta, but that doesn't compare, right?
No, not
all right. Okay, how on a scale of like 1 to 10, where would you put the betas in terms of data that you get and then release? I mean, the release is 10, but like compared to the betas. The beta is like a quarter of what you get?
Yeah, I think it's very, like, it's different because we're so focused on the end game now. And the beta was great for testing that our loops kind of work and that, like, technically it's there and the game is fun. Yeah. But now we're focusing so much on making sure that the end game is fun.
Yeah.
But we're getting infinite data compared to what we've been getting before launch. Yeah. It's just crazy. Insane.
But it's a good thing, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. So based on that data, how does that process kind of work? I mean, in what format do you get this data? What's the first thing you do when you look at it?
Well, we have our like analytics dashboards that we've kind of pre-designed, and we're still improving them right now, where we see what, you know, some of the things that the players are doing.
Yeah.
We see how much time they're spending in the game. What they're doing in the game, what they prefer to do. We're looking at more detailed things like how much currency they have, what they spend it on, what they like to buy, things like that. How much are they crafting? And they're crafting a lot.
Yes.
How much are they deconstructing and so on. So we have a good, I would say we have a good idea of what they're doing. It's more the analysis of it that is a bit more time consuming, and we want to react really fast. So that's the more...
Well, I mean, so already some of the reactions to things like Midas, when that had to be looked at, right? That was a very quick thing from our side to say, hey, we know this isn't working. Let's take some time and get it fixed. Well, I mean, the fix came quickly, but the what comes next is coming very soon. Actually, by the time this podcast comes out, it already would have happened. Mm-hmm. But the similarly with Phoenix credits, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I then mean, yeah, they're finding a lot of things that we did not foresee.
Of course,
players, and it's really good.
But
it's good.
Just being able to, because I think as you touched on, we have dashboards. I mean, we do use data proactively in the sense that we have things like performance indicator that we want to follow and track day to day, so we can basically make sure and validate that our what we're thinking is working and that it's playing out the way we want. But also being able to use data reactively because we get so much great feedback from the community, right?
Yeah,
on Reddit and all the forums and everywhere. And data is a huge help in that as well. Not that we don't trust you guys.
Yeah, of course.
But just being able to look at like, okay, how big of a problem is this? Is it widespread?
Yeah. And also, or is it affecting certain people that play certain ways?
Exactly.
And that sort of thing.
And then having an analytics team also enables us to basically request reports like, okay, we're interested about this, and this.
Okay.
Can you please dig deeper into this and do an analysis and basically try to pinpoint things in more detail.
That's cool.
Using data. So the whole relationship between community feedback and data analysis proactively and reactively is helping us a lot.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, like you said, that community feedback really helps us very quickly.
Yeah, because please never stop.
No, exactly.
It's so important. Yeah.
I think it's important. It's so good that the community is so vocal about certain things, whether or not they're bad or good for the community. Like, a lot of people were really happy with how Midas was working, but there were conversely a lot of people who saw that it wasn't working great. Same with Phoenix credits. I mean, anyone who's played RPGs before know that it can get a little bit... it breaks it a bit when you get everything at once, right? Because it breaks our whole loot hierarchies and system and everything.
Yeah, and I think like it with some things that we know are not perfect, we take our time and we look at the data and we analyze and we try to find the right solution.
Definitely.
But with some things that we know are broken and we can see are broken, sometimes it's probably better. It's a judgment call, but sometimes it's probably better to react quickly to affect as little people as possible, I guess, as well, because that was very early on after launch. So it was a bit of a balance.
So 31, level 30 and 31 and 32 mobs drop different amounts? Is that right?
Yeah, we're increasing the kind of like the reward for fighting higher level enemies.
Cool.
So it will feel better. We're also, you know, adding new content. So we're trying to push the Phoenix credit grind to be interesting with the new content as well. So that has been a really big part of our this week and last week to make sure that the next update that we add is good, well-balanced, and it fixes some of the things that we're seeing now.
Exactly. I mean, people are going to have their first incursion very soon. So that's going to be part of the whole story as well. There's also Bullet King, which will be fixed by the time by the time they get that as well. Yes. I mean, some people are very, very happy that that's not going to exist anymore. I myself am very, very happy that won't exist anymore. But there will be some people who are sad. But I would say this. Bullet King has given a lot of people a chance to get very involved in the crafting system. So, I don't know. Is that an unintended consequence of the Bullet King thing?
It's always really tricky to see if this is good or bad because it affects people in different ways. You have players that play a lot.
Exactly.
And have everything or have really good things and they don't really care maybe about Bullet King that much. But then you have players that don't play a lot and then they find that and then that's an opportunity to gear up really quickly. And so it's like... depends on. We have such a variety of players right now. Like
that's true, and there's probably a bunch of people out there who don't know what the hell we're talking about as well.
Yeah.
So they'll be like, "Who the hell is Bullet King?" Yeah. I missed that whole thing because we have some people who either don't look at Twitch, aren't interested in other people playing, and they aren't digesting that information, so they might have missed it altogether. Yeah. But it's gone now. So
he's fixed.
Yeah, he's fixed. But I mean, it's good. It's very easy to see when those things are happening. Like we have a lot of visibility on that. So
yeah, we do. And I mean, it's rare, especially with things that can be exploited or that are more bad than good. And when I say more bad than good, it's rare that things are completely black and white. But we of course have to protect and cater to everyone playing the game.
Of course.
And that is the day-to-day judgment call we have to always juggle. Like how do we make sure that okay, maybe this exact behavior we don't want to support to this extent.
Yeah.
But we can't just focus too narrowly as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I read a bit on Reddit before coming down here, and someone raised a good point about it can't be all about nerfing things like this if we don't add value elsewhere. So I think, as you touched on, the fact that we're going to continuously add content, we're going to add more gear and weapons and things to do, et cetera, right?
So I think one of the things that comes up a lot, I've noticed, especially on the stream, people are like, why can't you increase the drop rates for everything and give us all the money? And I know that that's not the way we should be doing things, because you make things so not special, right? That's for lack of a better term, that's terrible English. But I still remember in any kind of game that I've played like this, any RPG game, how awesome it is when something amazing drops and I've spent so much time trying to find it. Do you think that's something that we are always trying to do with our game, or...?
I think we're trying to, like, what makes RPGs fun is this whole loop of new challenge, harder challenge I need to gear up to, you know, I need to have the gear and the experience and the skills to beat it.
Yeah.
So I think giving all the money and giving all the things is good as long as the challenge is on par.
Yeah, I completely agree. Kind of made a parallel before. If you give people everything all the time, it just feels like they have a cheat code to the game. And if you guys have ever used cheats before, you know, it kind of ruins everything special about the game. So it's a...
It can be a temporary power trip, like playing a game in God mode, right?
Sure.
But it wears off so fast.
Yeah.
And I think, as you said, with loops, if you read on Gamma Sutra or elsewhere, like the whole OCR loop, Objective Challenge Reward, is very central to games in general, but our game as well, of course. And I think it's relationship to RPG, where an objective can be, I want to get this really awesome item.
Yeah.
With that objective comes some form of plan. How am I going to do this? Then the challenge itself is about execution.
Mm-hmm.
I'm executing on my plan. Maybe how I'm going to play to beat that content might be really tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get a reward. And I can then reevaluate and refine how I play or what I'm going to do next based on the rewards I got. And I think that also needs to mesh with the scale of the reward needs to mesh with the challenge and the difficulty of the thing you did.
I completely agree. That's also a pretty good segue into incursions as well.
Yes.
Am I wrong?
You're completely right.
Yes! All right. I should be a game designer, apparently.
Mm?
No, I shouldn't. You don't want that.
Are you sure? But,
yeah, you don't want that. I'll make things way too unenjoyable for a lot of people. See, I love games that are really punishing, but probably way, way, way too punishing for people. I would want, like, Dark Souls on crack. Like, that would be my ideal game.
Like Dark Souls with permadeath.
Yeah, permadeath Dark Souls would be my dream.
I would play that.
Yeah, you would. Maybe some people wouldn't like that.
Yeah, no.
Not me. But,
yeah, not you?
No.
No? You don't like...
I want to feel like I can... I want to feel that the challenge is impossible, but I don't want it to take too long to get there.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, maybe it's just me then. So, incursions. It's something that I've been wanting to talk about for a very long time. But I don't know much, so this is good, because now I get to ask you, like, things selfishly. Mm-hmm. So, our first incursion. I mean, if you'll have already seen it on the mini-map, or on the mega-map, Falcon Lost.
Yeah.
All right. What can you tell me about this? So, okay, I can tell you this much. People have already deduced that there is a big vehicle in it, because it's in the trailer.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. We obviously don't want to give away spoilers, but how do incursions differ from challenge modes?
Incursions are basically going to be our most difficult and most highly rewarding activities in the game that hopefully everyone, but the vast majority of our players will feel like this is slightly unattainable thing on the horizon that I can strive to being able to actually do.
Yeah.
And with that degree of challenge, of course, we need to, as I said before, match that with rewards.
Okay.
So it's going to be the toughest thing you can do, but also the source of the coolest stuff at the point. that you can get. And it's going to be group focused. It's a group activity. So just like challenge mode, we're going to further increase the focus on playing, you know, together, complementing each other, executing tactics, you know, building a plan and executing it really well is going to be key to be able to do this thing.
So, I mean, based on that, are there going to be mechanics and things that people haven't experienced yet through other missions?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
We're going to add new, you're going to see new ingredients in terms of what happens and what you're exposed to playing the incursions.
Okay, now I'm intrigued. But I can't ask too much because we can't give people too many pointers about how to beat Falcon Lost.
No.
Because here's what I think is going to happen, and I know it will definitely happen to me. Some people will like find these incursions that they're probably just about right for them, but I think a large majority of the population will get a rude awakening when they jump in there the first time, myself included. Like, I'll probably jump in. And the same thing happened with the challenge mode. The first time I was like, oh, okay, all right. I got like shot in the face and I'm down. I imagine similar things might happen in incursions.
Yes. And on top of that, just like the main missions that you've been playing now for a while, you know, being able to play them on normal and then on hard and then some of them on challenge mode.
Okay.
The incursions is going to come in two difficulties as well.
Yes, hard and challenging.
So it will start on hard.
Yeah.
There's no easy.
Yeah.
Normal. But then there's also a challenge version of incursions, which is like the ultimate challenge for you as a group in the division at that point.
Yeah. Nice. And correct me if I'm wrong, the hard mode of incursions is harder than challenge modes of regular missions.
Yeah, I would say that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So challenge incursions,
they're in the
like,
same realm
yeah.
of difficulty.
Okay. It's a different kind of content.
Yeah, so that might be the challenging part of it. But
yeah.
But incursions on challenge mode is like a huge step up from what I hear.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't have permadeath.
We don't.
Okay.
We don't.
Damn. All right, one day. Have you, Andrade, have you tried the incursions?
I have.
How did it
with
go?
With the team, with the three guys that we are in the team, and I don't think we managed to beat it. We tried it when there was an exploit in. we had a bug, so we tried it then, and we beat it. I think we tried it for an entire day, and I think we tried it 6 times.
Okay.
But I don't think we would be able to beat it today.
That's good.
I don't know, but we haven't tried it after that. The bug was fixed. So,
okay.
Yeah, I think it's rough.
Okay, that's a good barometer. I like that.
Yep.
All right. Have you finished it, Matthias? I hope so.
I have not beaten it on challenge mode, no.
Oh!
Not
no.
on challenge.
No.
Awesome!
This was hard. No. But
what we kind of have now internally in the project, this, you know, Mario Maker approach to a really tough content.
It needs to have
been beaten once by a group within the project somewhere.
And then it's...
Then we know it can be done.
Yeah. So the QC guys, I imagine, probably... And I talk about those guys a lot because... If I wanted to group up with anyone who could help carry me through stuff, it's the QC folks upstairs.
Yeah.
They're serious. But yeah. I've actually heard they've had some trouble. With the challenge incursions. So that's cool.
But what's always fascinating to see all you people out there, how much better. Like there's a group of players out there. They just make us look like kindergartners. They're so good, some of them, that...
It's really good. Actually, today on the stream, I grouped up with a bunch of people who just carried me. And I'm like, yes, okay, this is good. I have like this supply of people who can just carry me. It's fantastic. Because I'm not good. I'm really not good. Anyone who's watched the stream knows I'm terrible. But I find it fun, so I don't really care. Yeah.
I played yesterday, played hard mode, got a little overconfident.
Yeah.
And I just ran in and died. And the other guys in the group, I just match made for mission. They were like, dude, what the hell? And they just kicked me.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I wonder if they realized they kicked the lead game designer. that's so good.
I'm not going to tell you my tag. So
no,
They will never know.
All right. Damn. That would have been good. That's fantastic. And you do get punished for your overconfidence as well.
Oh, yeah.
I've noticed that. Actually, when I've gone back and played on characters that I've been leveling up, and I'm like, because I'm so used to getting... in that mindset of how my character's kind of geared in the end game. He's not super geared like other people, but I have some nice stuff. But when I go back and I'm playing through the story, I'm not invincible. So that's kind of cool. I'm enjoying that. I have some questions from the community.
All right.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I hope so.
Are you sure? All right. So I have some from Reddit and I have some from Twitter as well. Let's start with Reddit because the Division subreddit is going crazy.
We're up over
100. Well, not we because we don't own the subreddit, but the guys who started the subreddit have now gotten it up over 100,000. This is a very general one from EXE Matt. What kind of changes are you looking at for the Dark Zone? That's more a question for Matthew. But like, there are some balancing things coming.
Yes.
And actually, by the time this is out, people will have experienced some of those rogue balancing things. Do you guys know anything about those Dark Zone changes?
We're looking at, we got a lot of, once again, really good feedback here, well spotted by a number of players. And we're looking at addressing those things like the incentives of going rogue in terms of like risk versus reward. How much do you lose in terms of dying as a rogue in the ranks, etc.? Increasing the incentives for doing the tough content in the Dark Zone in terms of the drops you can get, as Alan mentioned earlier.
So, you know, I mean, already those Phoenix credits that we were talking about earlier, the fact that the 32, I mean, the character level 32 NPCs will drop more.
Yeah, we're increasing more things from them. So Division tech drops are going to happen from them more, and legendary drops are going to happen from them more. And also we're looking at the Dark Zone funds balancing as well. We're lowering rank requirements for some of the items on the vendors, so it's it's easier to get geared up in the lower rank.
So we're adding
new things for the higher ranks.
Above level 50 or?
Yes, we're adding for rank 90. Something.
That is
more
cool.
More granularity with the ranks as well. So it will be easier to buy things, and it will be also new things for the people that have played so much that they have the ranks. And
so there's going to be new, those new attainable points. So right now it's Dark Zone rank 30 and Dark Zone rank 50, and you're saying there's going to be 90 as well for gear and stuff in between as well.
Yeah, we're going to have stuff at 15. 30, 40, 50, 75, and 90.
Whoa, okay, cool. All right, new informations. F8L Full asks, when will eye level 32 gear be added to the game? Because right now, I mean, I know I have some 30 and 31 pieces. Is that something that goes along with incursions?
Yeah, it will be part of the first free update, rank level 32 or gear score.
Yeah, okay. That's cool. Is that going to be found in incursions, or can I still find that gear, eye level 32 gear, in the Dark Zone as well?
Yes. Okay. So we're the way we have our economy structured and the loot drops and is done in such a way to have choice. So if you like to play the Dark Zone a lot, you should be able to get good, you know, the best stuff in the game, right? We've been saying that a lot.
Yeah.
So the new best stuff in the game should be in there. But also, if you like to play missions on hard and challenge, that should also feel rewarding. So that's why we have so many currencies and loops, and they overlap, and it's a bit
cool.
It's a bit everywhere, but it gives choice. So that's the objective.
Fantastic. Okay. That one's a good one. Mr. Kudo asks, will there be a fix/remake of the current Dark Zone system, especially from a rogue's perspective? Well, we kind of answered that. Will there be more named high-end weapons? I guess that's a question I'd probably throw at Frederick, but do you guys know anything about that?
We're continuously looking at adding new weapons, gear to the game. That is the plan, yes.
Okay, so we can say yes to that.
We can say yes.
Okay.
I can't swear on exactly when.
You can't say when or how or where, but
many,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's all we need. That's all we need. Chrome Shelter says, what are you going to do to keep the DZ credits and normal credits relevant? That's, I guess, for you, Andrea.
Yeah, so we're looking at the currencies. We're looking at how to do some quick balances balancing fixes for them so that they become better balanced and on the short term. And we're also going to look at them on the long term more. For credit, we're actually making a change to recalibration. So you used to need Phoenix Credit to recalibrate legendary items. We're now introducing e-credits for recalibrating legendary items. So a lot of people that have a lot of e-credits are going to be very happy that they
That's
can
awesome.
Very easily recalibrate their legendary items for a while
until they
get rid of them. And for Dark Zone funds, we're rebalancing drop rates for those as well. And we're also adding new things at the vendors. So hopefully they're going to become a lot more interesting with the new things at the vendors. And but as I said, we're looking at long-term ways to make them fun for a longer period of time, scale them nicer.
That's really cool. Actually, there might be a question coming up about it, but since you're talking about it now, the vendors, that's something I get a question about a lot. So people are asking about like the Dark Zone 6 vendors and the special, I think it's called the high-end gear vendor and the tech wing.
Yeah.
The blueprints aren't subject to the restock timer. Is that correct?
That is correct for the ones that exist now in the game.
Okay. Will those blueprints ever be switched out? Are they okay?
We're looking at adding new blueprints, so that is happening, and we will have them roll out. So you will have new blueprints every week, basically.
Okay, so so once a week there'll be new blueprints in those vendors.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. And then I think they're subject to the restock timer will change their gear
as well. Yeah.
Okay. Black in Book says, how will you fix itemization to make incursion gear highly desirable? So what are we doing to make that gear?
We're adding gear set items.
Yes.
So incursion is going to be our...
That's the place where you get the gear sets.
Very good source for that. Absolutely.
Can you get gear sets in any other way?
Yes, you can get some of the pieces for them.
Okay.
Through the economy, so through some of the vendors. And we're also making a special Dark Zone gear set.
Ooh,
that is just in the Dark Zone.
Aquarium, very cool.
Just in the Dark Zone.
But I'm going to take from that there are some pieces of the gear sets that you can only get from incursions. Is that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
But not all?
Not all.
Okay.
Some will also be, for example, dropped potentially with the chance, dropped by the bosses in the challenge modes. So those are going to be fun to grind as well.
All right, but to complete the gear sets, you will need some pieces from the incursions.
Yeah. Yes.
Cool.
And I think the gear sets are going to be a really fun addition to the gear and RPG loop. And I mean, this is not the first and last time we're going to add gear sets to the game. So, it is the first.
Yeah, it's not going to be the last.
It's definitely first. It's not the last. Yeah. It's not the last. So we're going to keep adding them.
Nice. Deep Fried Dave. Actually, Deep Fried Dave is from Real Good Radio Podcast. They're very good. Deep Fried Dave has like the best voice on earth, and I'm super jealous. And if I could trade voices with Deep Fried Dave, I would do it. He asks, when designing the DZ, how did you envision the balance of rogue agents and PvE playing out? So I guess that's more of, I was going to say that's a pretty broad question.
Yeah, it's pretty big, yeah.
The balance of rogue agents and PvE. I take from that maybe... I don't know. That's a hard one.
Well, I mean, the if you look at the high level intentions of the fact that the Dark Zone is a PvE and a PvP space at the same time, we always wanted it to be, resting on the foundation of PvE with PvP as a backdrop,
as
a choice. We're not really, we're not explicitly incentivizing PvP in that way.
So no, that's true.
We wanted it to be, this paranoia-inducing suspense creating flavor where...
I like it.
you can always choose to go rogue.
Yeah.
Or you can be policing.
Yep.
But other players can also be a source for the really good items that you can find from PvE in the Dark Zone, just that you don't have to engage in PvE to do so, because you can steal it from someone else.
There you go. So I think that's also interesting. And it circumvents, I think, a problem that... other games have had in the past where people can get this crazy amazing gear in a PvE scenario and then come into PvP and just destroy everyone, even though they're new to PvP. I don't think we have that problem. Do you think that's something that we'd have a problem with going forward, like with the incursion gear sets? Or
no, I mean, we try as best as we can to make sure that all the mechanics in game, all the stats, the skills, the, you know, the gear talents, the future gear sets, etc., are that they work in both PV and PvP, that there's no inherent, you know, built-in imbalance or such. Then of course there might be things that are more or less suitable. Mm-hmm. And I mean, let's just face it, we might make mistakes. You might find things that are creating imbalances, which we then of course will address. But no, there's no explicit idea that there will be PvE versus PvP mechanics and gear in the game.
Because we don't, at the moment, we don't have a stat where, like, any mitigation from player sources of damage, right? Like, we don't have it. So if I get a piece of armor and it says, like, lowers damage from players or...
No, we don't explicitly mitigate it. We have a separate balancing pipeline for player versus player damage. So we
and that could be something we balance as well, right?
Yeah. Which gives us freedom to you know, make sure that we keep the PvE versus PvP balancing, since it's in the one and the same space.
Yeah.
Functioning.
Okay, that's cool. Because I'd hate for it to ever become a situation where everyone just one shots everyone and that sort of thing.
No, we don't want to get there now.
No, we won't have that problem. That's cool. Sarge, alas, we're onto Twitter now, asking, is there going to be any more challenge mode missions? So right now there's four. So yes, more?
Yes, that's the intention.
Okay.
To add more. Yeah.
All right. So they'll be coming out through various updates and that sort of thing. Fantastic. So yes, they will be. Super Serial is asking, hardest named elite you've come into contact with? Go. Hardest named elite that you've ever come into contact with?
Hardest.
Hardest. Sorry, that was my accent. Sorry. Hardest name elite.
Hardest name elite.
I still have trouble with 5-0.
Okay, yeah. Oh my god.
Damn it, that guy gets me every time.
Where is he?
He's like a level 12 or like level 10 mob in Chelsea. Isn't it in Chelsea? And it's like in that alleyway. Between the buildings. He's like one of the first ones that you come across. And he's always like more powerful than I imagine. But yes. Other than that, it's Boomerang, I think, is the sniper who gives me some trouble sometimes.
Yeah, I think snipers are really tough.
Yeah.
And Dire and everywhere else. Oh, it's Golden Gun Tunnel. I think the mission.
Mm. Joe Ferro as well.
Oh, yeah.
Joe Ferro is pretty tough. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And, well, you know what? Maybe I think for me, the hardest are the Riker heavies.
Mm.
Like more than the name. Those are
the really named ones. There's, is it Animal? Is one of the named Riker heavies in the Dark Zone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I have never fought him.
Yeah. There's a few of them. I can't think of any ones. But yeah, 5-0 gives me trouble every time. I was playing through a new character the other day. 5-0 just got me. Okay. Anyway.
Bastard.
Yeah, I know. That's not good. John C. Black, this one is interesting. How are we supposed to survive the challenging difficulty if we can't get high-end gear?
Are you really not?
Yeah. That's the game. Like you get better and better gear, and then eventually you'll be able to do challenge modes.
Yep.
I would say employ some tactics. you get really used to playing through the normal missions, and you can kind of be a little bit more loose with your play style and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But communicate with your team and synergize it with your skills as well.
You need to start thinking group synergies, tactics.
Yeah.
And you need to get better stuff.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah, and you will. There are ways.
Yeah.
Craft. That's crafting. Definitely a good option right now.
Mm-hmm. But my first challenge mode was really hard. I've done maybe like only like 4 or 5 of them. But now it's already feeling a little bit easier.
Yeah. No, I mean, we very purposefully made it so we wanted it to feel like a wall.
Yeah.
Like a bigger step up from hard to challenge than from normal to hard.
Yeah.
So you're like, whoa, okay, shit.
Yeah.
Can I do this? And then little by little, yes, you will.
It's called challenging.
Yeah.
Which would imply that maybe you don't succeed every time, which I love. But yeah, I think the biggest thing... the biggest tip that I could give is maybe look at your skills and your talents again and try something new.
Yeah.
Like when I started using Smart Cover, like things got easier.
Yeah.
It was a...
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Personal build questions for you guys. Matthias, what do you usually... what's your loadout usually looking like?
I'm usually fairly aggressive. I like building paper tigers. I rarely go for, you know, boosting my health or my protection. So I'm either gravitating towards increasing my skill power, going that route, or through firearms.
All
right. I tend to be a marksman rifle, assault rifle, actually.
Assault rifle?
Yeah, there's a lot of marksman rifle SMGs out there right now.
Yeah.
But I like AR plus marksman rifle combo.
Bolt action marksman or...
No, M1A.
M1A?
Yeah, semi-auto. Yeah. And then I typically go with... I like the combo, the crowd-controlling sticky bomb, the flashbang mod, and the flame turret, actually, when I'm playing in groups. Because then I can do a lot of disruption and damage over time. And then just expose targets for myself and the group.
Nice. Because I think that's one of the things that people often forget is they're looking at their DPS sheet, which obviously doesn't take into account the amount of time that you are doing damage, right? So when you, even though it seems that like, oh, I'm using sticky flashbang or that sort of thing, and it doesn't actually do any damage, the amount of damage that you can do during that time is gigantic.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The damage potential lies in, you know, the window of opportunity you create for yourself to use other things sometimes. It's not just the raw damage at one point in time, right?
Exactly. And if you can't apply your DPS, it means nothing.
And yes, by the way, we know it's a pain to compare weapons with mods right now.
We're gonna
fix it.
So the UI team are maybe giving us an option to compare weapons without mods?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I'm happy. Andrada, what do you usually do in terms of loadout?
I usually go for electronics, so I play with the turret and first aid. Those are my favorite. Nice. I usually have an assault rifle and a shotgun.
Nice.
Yeah. And when I'm playing group, I usually have the support station.
Yeah,
I like to play like the half healer weird. Yeah.
I kind of want to try
hybrid.
Yeah, exactly. I want to try like a full healer build. I don't know what that would really look like, but I kind of want to try it out. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get to the point where I roll as many max level characters as I can, so I don't have to keep switching, and I can just have one for each, and I can log in and out and do that. That's going to take some time.
But you're probably playing more than anyone in the office. So.
I played a bit. Yeah. I think I have I'm less than 50 hours played.
Okay. Yeah.
So not,
wow.
Not,
that's pretty good, though.
It's pretty good. It's I'm closing in on 50. Although when you compare that to some of the people out in the community who have done like 10 days played.
It's staggering. Yeah.
Almost. I mean, there's a lot of people out there who have like put some serious time into this game, which is awesome.
It's amazing. We're looking at some of the dashboards. We can't believe our eyes. It's just insane. It's really good.
Yeah. Some people are hitting. Yeah.
I was mind blowing to see how fast the first person in the world hit max Darkson rank.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fast.
Yeah, he showed up in Twitch chat today.
Oh.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's was it Chaos someone? I think I saw him. It was like Chaos followed the channel. I was like, oh my God, it's that guy. It's that guy.
Famous.
I was like, dude, can you carry me in the Dark Zone? He was like, maybe. I don't know. Like I'm too much of a scrub.
Are you wordy?
I'm too much of a scrub for him. So I don't know. Maybe one day I can get him to give me a Dark Zone tour. We'll see. All right. Anything you guys want to say to the community before we run off?
We love you.
Aww.
Keep them coming.
All right. That's
please,
so nice.
All the feedback. We love to hear what you
even if
what
like,
you find.
Yeah. And trust us, we really listen and take it to heart.
Mm-hmm.
And we read everything. So even though it might at times not, you might not get this immediate, you know, sense of feedback that someone listened. Or it might not instantly get into the game.
Some things take time.
Sometimes it's not exactly what you're asking for because, you know, we need to evaluate it on our side. But we do absolutely listen and we read everything. So
that's cool.
And we're really working really hard. Really hard right
I've noticed everyone in the office is looking so tired. It's crazy. But it's good.
It's great.
And we wouldn't do this if we didn't love the game and want to make it the best thing that it can possibly be. So it's cool. People were like, on the stream, because I worked on Friday night till like 11 o'clock, and they're like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, I don't mind, because it's, I love it. It's fantastic. It's cool to hang out with the community, and I hope we can do more of these things, more podcasts, more streams.
It's our baby, and we're, I mean, you're helping us raise it, so.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good analogy. I like that. It's and also it kind of fits with the whole lack of sleep thing.
You're helping balance our baby.
Yeah. There you go. I think
that
we
sounds
should,
really weird.
I think it's perfect. Let's leave it there. Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll talk soon. Anyway, I'm gonna leave it there. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, so if you haven't subscribed yet, make sure to do that so you can get this podcast into your ear holes in the fastest possible fashion. And as always, you'll find us on Twitter, Facebook, the official forums, the Division subreddit, and unless you've been living under some sort of rock, you'll also be able to find us on twitch.tv/thedivisiongame. Come hang out, learn everything you can about the game, and be a part of this awesome community we have brewing over there. Also, if you have any feedback or thoughts about who we could talk to on this podcast, just hit me up on Twitter at Hamish Bode. And again, thanks for coming back to the podcast. I promise it won't be long until the next one.